It's Monday.
Oh my gosh, is it Monday?
There's a radio station that...
find us a beer show here today. Let's talk much. About beer.
Yay!
I'm down for recording that one.
I am too.
Doe the thing I buy beer with. Ray, the guy who sells me beer. Me, the one I buy beer for. Fa, the bathroom is from here.
Oh my gosh.
So I'll have another beer. La, 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 beer. Tea, no thanks, I'll have a beer. That brings us back to beer, 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 beer.
I had a...
The first time I heard that, that's when I cracked up the most, was, fa, the bathroom is from here.
No doubt.
Like, that's freaking hysterical.
There's a radio station, KCAL 96.7, that plays 80s rock in Redlands. And they have this voice that comes on all day Monday that goes, Monday's blow!
Oh, man, that needed to be broadcast through my office today because, man, is it, it's just...
Man, is it Monday?
Oh.
Somebody's got a case of the Mondays.
Shall we do a countdown?
Sure, let's do a countdown. Oh, you mean me.
1, 2, 3, 4, 5, backwards, go.
Why am I so weirded out right now?
Because you don't sound like a chipmunk anymore.
I'm just going to do a countdown. I need to just walk away from that.
Yeah, pretty much.
Mm-hmm. 5, 4, 3, 2, 1.
Hello there. This is Chad Snee. I'm the editor of Lynn Stamp News and the Scott Publishing Company. And you're listening to Stamp Show Here Today.
It's a to send up. Stamp collecting happens when we dream together.
Welcome to Stamp Show Here Today, episode number 71. I'm sitting here with Scott, Cash, Tom, and Jeff, and I'm your host, Dawn. You can find us on Facebook at Stamp Show Here Today and on Twitter at Stamp Show HT, where you can call us and leave a message at country code 1-949-873-4298. Tell your friends they can find us on iTunes, Podbay, Stitcher, and many more. Let's talk about stamps. This week we'll be talking about stamp news. U.S. Mail Service has resumed to Cuba. Hashtag stamp stories. Hashtag dear USPS. Cash's corrections. And our expert topic this week is on photographing and cataloging your stamps. So, stamp news. U.S. Mail Service has resumed to Cuba. The first time in more than 50 years, the United States Postal Service is transporting mail directly to Cuba. The Postal Service announced March 17th that it has resumed mail service to the island nation after President John F. Kennedy suspended it in 1963 at the height of the Cold War. The change in mail delivery policy comes after President Barack Obama restored U.S. ties with Cuba late in 2014, and just days before the president will travel to Havana for a two-day visit. The U.S. Postal Service is pleased to participate in the historic direct transportation of mail service with Cuba, Postmaster General and CEO Megan J. Brennan said. The first USPS mail dispatched to Cuba included a letter from Obama to 76-year-old Ileana R. Yarza, a fan of the president who had written to him previously and invited him over for coffee. A special USA-Cuba direct postmark dated March 16th was used to hand-cancel the president's mail, according to a report by USA Today. The president and Mrs. Obama are flying to Havana March 20th for the first trip to Cuba by a sitting American president in 88 years. The Postal Service notes that mail now being accepted for delivery in Cuba includes first-class mail, international items such as postcards and letter-sized envelopes, first-class package international service items, priority mail international flat-rate envelopes, and priority mail international small flat-rate priced boxes. Some items are prohibited in mail sent to Cuba, and Globe Express Guaranteed and Priority Mail Express international services are not available.
I wonder what the prohibited items are, other than, you know, the obvious. Is it like, fake Castro beards and...
Cigars.
Yeah, I want to get a box of Cuban cigars. Right? Are you kidding me?
First time in my lifetime.
But why would you send a box of Cuban cigars back to Cuba?
Maybe, yeah.
In protest.
Oh. Maybe the last
An interesting thing we were watching on YouTube, they have the...
Probably can't send children back either.
Probably not.
You can't mail yourself there.
We were watching on YouTube about the minimum wages in the world, and Cuba has a 5 cent per hour minimum wage, which is kind of interesting.
Okay.
They give you free health care, sort of free food and free housing, which all suck, by the way. But their minimum wage is 5 cents an hour. So if you want to move to Cuba, you know,
you can't mail yourself.
Yeah. And you, well, it would take you 10 hours of work to afford the postage stamp.
Yikes.
Yeah.
Well, that's assuming that you can buy a postage stamp.
Well, I know that Cuba...
And that it would only be 50 cents.
Cuba has plenty of stamps. They print sheets and sheets of CTOs.
Yeah, but those are already canceled. You can't mail letters with those.
Besides, it wouldn't take me that long to do the work to mail myself to Cuba. Getting back might be a bit of an issue.
Are you going to go priority, or are we going to have to put some licking sticks on you?
Tom doesn't quite know how to answer that question.
I broke Tom.
Broke, no. I'm trying to be filtered.
All right, we'll just call you water then.
I have to tell you, that stamp or that letter that Barack Obama sent, that's pretty... I could think of a lot of other things to have said.
Oh, I could care less about the letter. I hope that lady saves the cover.
Oh, yeah.
I know, huh?
That'll be a cool cover.
I would be fairly certain that he did not write that personally.
Yeah, yeah.
There was an aide for that.
Of course.
And even if he hand wrote it, he didn't choose the words. He was told what to write.
It was definitely typed. I saw a picture of it.
I will have time to enjoy a cup of Cuban coffee as opposed to...
Yes.
Peruvian, Hawaiian.
Venezuelan.
Colombian.
If I remember correctly, Colombian. It is an extremely strong coffee.
Really?
Yes.
I wouldn't doubt it. They make it the old-fashioned way, or they don't filter it. It's just pressed.
Yeah, I think so. I think it's, you know, it's very, if I'm remembering this correctly, it's very thick. You know, it's almost like espresso.
Mm-hmm.
My kind of coffee.
The kind you can pour on your pancakes.
That's right.
And that's just tiramisu. There's a difference.
Yeah, tiramisu pancakes.
Time for hashtag stamp stories. Hashtag Dear USPS. This week's stamp stories is a little different. This time we are going to encourage our listeners to write to the USPS on the topic of new U.S. stamp designs. Our message is purely in the spirit of creativity and contains a little light humor as well. Your letter might read something like this. Dear USPS, in the last few years, it seems like the quality of the designs found on U.S. stamps are just boring. When we look around at other spectacular stamps offered by other countries, we have to ask ourselves, what happened? Take, for instance, the latest round of science fiction-based stamps issued around the world. Great Britain issued a gorgeous couple of sheets for the new Star Wars movies. Also, the Doctor Who stamps they issued in 2013 are pretty nice, too. And I'm not even going to get into the amazing stamps issued by places that don't count, like Guyana and Palau.
Ooh, get some hate mail from those places.
If Guyana and Palau can get it together with their jaw-dropping designs, why can't we? Why do we get stuck with things like red pears and ferns?
Stupid fern.
And that's a rerun, too.
Oh, my God. Somebody decided it was a good idea to do that again?
Yeah. As if there weren't enough of them out there.
That's not even... They're ugly.
Yeah.
I was just complaining about those over the weekend. I was looking at your red...
Well, we should read the rest of our letter before we get involved in our debate.
Okay, fine.
Just saying.
Mm-hmm. I was really hoping that we could release some awesome Star Wars stamps for the new movie. We haven't gotten any since 2007, and it seems like this is something you guys could have been all over. You did manage to get us a little sci-fi this year and some Star Trek stamps, and we have to give them credit, but really, who designed them? Stamp Show here today couldn't even give them 3 stars out of 10 because the designs were so dated and basic. Out of all the awesomeness that could have come out of those stamps, how did those boring designs get picked? It seems like so many other countries in the last 20 years have gotten a major stamp design facelift. Why does it feel like our stamps are still made in the 1960s?
In the 1960s, we had better stamps.
Yeah. Well, at least the stamps were up with current technology.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And signed sincerely, a concerned collector. How do you feel about stamp designs in recent U.S. history? Will you send us a copy of our letter to Postmaster General Brennan? Let us know on Twitter and Facebook, hashtag Stamp Stories, hashtag Dear USPS. Cash!
No, I totally believe that the... It really came to a head for me with the Star Trek stamps. The just basically poor design. And then, you know, they had four designs. One of them was fairly okay. I speak about the one with the Enterprise and the badge. You could have just made a sheet of those and thrown the other three designs away. At least then you'd have like a C plus sheet.
Yeah.
Instead of like a D minus sheet.
Yeah, probably would have given you 4.5 out of 10.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. Our stamps are moderately neato.
Yeah.
Not even.
I mean, it could have been a perfect time for Star Wars.
Yeah.
I mean, everybody else in the world was issuing them, and we issued a, what is it, Yes, I Do. And
Yeah.
Yes, I Do, 2 ounce rate or whatever that was.
Well, here's something funny, because I was gone for a while, and I believe in the early shows, one of the last things that we covered was the farm stand stamps.
Yeah, yeah. Mm-hmm.
And a year later, we're back, and what just came out?
Vegetable stand stamps.
Was it pears and grapes?
Pears and grapes.
Mm-hmm. Oh, pears, yeah.
I'm like, seriously, how many pear and grape stamps and farm stand stamps can we have?
We have, you know, we're going to have the rutabaga stamp.
Don't forget the eggplant stamp.
Yeah.
Brussels sprouts.
And cabbage.
What are you trying to do, scare the kids away?
Yeah. No, I totally agree. You know, we
lick this stamp and it tastes like a Brussels sprout.
Oh.
That would be interesting.
That would really turn off kid collectors.
But it would at least be interesting. You know, have a scratch and sniff apple stamp or a scratch and sniff orange stamp or something like that. You know, add something to it, because right now they're just, you know, going through the list of fruit.
Well, yeah, it's just a picture of the piece of fruit on white. It's like, have like a background, something.
But they've gone through the fruit already.
Yeah, they're repeating fruit.
I mean, it's not like the first pear stamp we've had.
Yeah, but still, the thing that disappoints me is there's a group of people sitting around going, we need to come up with some new designs for some stamps. What's really going to get people going? I know. Fruit.
Well, when we were talking about this, Cash and I had the discussion on the fact that I think one of the better design stamps that come out every year is the Federal Duck Stamp.
Yeah.
And they have a freaking artist competition every year.
Yeah.
And they pick the best design.
Well, I actually kind of like the Priority and Express Mail designs that they've been running with.
Those are better.
Mm-hmm. I have to agree with those. That's 2 out of 40.
Well, not only that, but like 0.25% of the population will see those high-end stamps anyway.
Yeah. Yeah, because most people don't buy the high-dollar stuff.
Mm-mm. Well, they don't send packages either.
Well, even, you know, you go back, and this really sort of started with The Simpsons, when they issued The Simpsons stamps.
Oh, yeah.
Because they said, okay, now we're going to start making stamps that people will enjoy. They'll think they're humorous or whatever, and people, well, they printed too many of them, and so they said, well, we didn't sell them all out. So obviously people aren't into pop culture, so we'll make ferns instead. It's like, no, you made a great topic, The Simpsons. You made lousy stamps. You did the same thing to The Simpsons that you're doing to Star Trek.
And you overprinted. Based on what your sales numbers were, you overprinted the issue anyway.
It wouldn't have been overprinted if they had put a decent, and I don't mean like a stellar stamp. I'm not looking for them to be like, let's say, the British Post Office.
Mm-hmm.
Heaven forbid the British Post Office would, you know, be comparable to the U.S. Post Office. But, you know, at least be comparable to, I don't know, Granada.
Right.
Yeah.
Well, the quality of the stamp printing is also much better in many of these other countries.
Oh, yeah. Well, I mean, like Don brought up, you know, the Star Wars stamp from Britain. I mean, you look at that and it just knocks your eyes out.
Awesome.
It's like, this is awesome.
Well, just go on Google images for Star Wars postage stamp, and you look at all these stamps and you go, not U.S., not U.S., not U.S. Come on!
None of them are.
Yeah.
Well, we got one sheet in 2007, and that's it.
Yeah. Yeah.
That was actually a decent sheet.
That was a nice one.
Well, I look at some of the stuff that we've looked at in here, and like I think it was Hong Kong that had one a year or so, or a couple of years ago, that had the cityscape with the fireworks in the background. It was a little sheet.
Mm-hmm. It was kind of holographic,
and it was
right?
Like the little fireworks were kind of like holographic and sparkly, and I'm like, this thing is just freaking cool.
Yeah.
Why aren't we doing that?
Well, other stamps have had, you know, great Swiss chocolate, and they had the chocolate, if you scratch it, it scratch and sniff, and you smell chocolate. And it's like, well, Switzerland, you know, is known for chocolate, and they did a really great stamp.
Can't do that here. My kids will be eating the stamps.
Yeah. Yeah. Giving new meaning to the my dog ate it.
Yeah.
Excuse.
So what would be a really good topic for you? I thought that they would have a great one when they came out with the comic book stamps.
Well, one thing they need to do is...
But then they did a lousy job on those.
They need to take the advisory committee, and they need to put somebody who's less than 30 years old on that board.
No.
Because they need to have an eye toward what topics are of interest and what are popular.
Well, hold on. Didn't they do decently on the Harry Potter stamps?
Yeah, but then they didn't market them, and they made them in a weird format that nobody wanted. Nobody used them.
I got an email back regarding zombies on stamps.
Yep. You got a reply.
I'm going to leave off the person's name, but having been a member of the committee for 12 years, I can tell you that they will not consider it to be a serious question. No kidding, really? Oh my goodness.
But talk about popular culture.
Yeah. And since there is 0% chance that anything in this realm would be considered for a stamp, they will simply refuse to deal with it seriously. Come on, guys.
And then you ask the question, well, why don't more people collect stamps?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
It's sort of like, you know, the criticism they're giving the Academy Awards for no black people?
Lack of diversity.
Lack of diversity. I just have to see is, you know, they're appointed, they're old people who work their way up. And it's like, great, if you are an old person, nothing wrong with it. I mean, I'm getting there and everything else. But if you're trying to, you can't be 95 years old, issue a stamp for Shirley Temple, and say, why aren't we getting younger collectors?
Right.
You know, why aren't young people collecting stamps? We put Shirley Temple on. And it's like, who the heck? Nobody knows who it is. Or the people who know who it is are not the people who you're complaining about not getting into the hobby. So, and it goes, you know, like to the Elvis stamp.
Mm-hmm.
When they put out the first Elvis stamp, they had the whole thing about young Elvis, new Elvis. There was a buzz about it. Mm-hmm. I mean, they marketed it well. And which one? And then they came out with the second Elvis stamp, and it was okay looking. It's a nice looking stamp, but it had no pizzazz to it. I mean, if you asked 100 people on the street, name somebody who has pizzazz, you know, you're going to get the name Elvis.
Well, first of all, they're going to say, what is pizzazz?
Yeah. It's cash is about as out of date in his terminology as the stamps are. Yep.
Is that anything like gumption?
Yeah. Gumption.
Rootin' tootin'.
So, so what are some of the topics that would get younger people involved today?
Well, just in looking for images of Star Wars stamps, you just search sci-fi postage stamp.
Mm-hmm.
There are so many cool global designs and issues out there. That's how I accidentally came across the Doctor Who stamps. They're really good looking.
Mm-hmm. Well, you see,
there's no excuse.
Look, but what look about the superheroes? I mean, that's like the really big thing right now, too. That's well,
yeah,
on.
Marvel.
Look at what's popular in the movies.
Mm-hmm.
They have all sorts of different kinds of movies that come out. Which ones are popular? Which ones are blockbusters? What does well? Look at that. See where what is our young people or younger people into what things are trending? Is it fashion? Is it comic books? Is it sci-fi? Is it thrillers?
It's zombies.
Well, the other thing,
Walking Dead,
World War Z.
Well, the other thing is, I mean, even when they brought out the Harry Potter, they brought it out at the end of the series.
Yeah,
it's like bring it out after book four, not after book 7.5.
Yeah, but I mean, they have a minimum of 3 to 5 years lead time that they say that they need to decide on a subject and get it designed and
pairs. It takes 5 years to decide on pairs.
Oh, yeah, really?
Oh, good point.
So, I mean, I'm not defending them.
Takes 5 years to reissue ferns. They are still growing.
Back in the day, look at how quickly they issued the Harding Memorial Stamp. It was less than a month after he was assassinated.
Mm-hmm. And it was a good-looking stamp.
Yeah.
No, it's because they couldn't decide between yellow, red, or green pairs.
They're overthinking it.
That actually is a point. It could be.
I just think that they have, they rely on the outside public and say, well, public, what do you want us to print? And nobody sends them anything. And so instead of having people who have sort of a pulse on what's going on,
or just have a pulse,
or have a they go, well, we haven't put out a stamp commemorating a black female
pair. I couldn't resist.
No, they sit there and say, okay, we haven't had this minority on a stamp. Let's put one on. And we haven't had a woman. Oh, can we combine the two and have a woman minority? Oh, yeah, we can. We found this person who invented the cyclopedia. Woohoo! Let's
and
put her on a stamp.
Nobody knows who she is, but we found her.
Yeah.
Thanks to the internet. And we would never have found that person otherwise.
I mean, how many people are on stamps that you look at it and go, well, there's two ways you can look at it. You go, wow, now I know who this person is. Or you look at it and go, who the hell is that?
Who's Gompers?
Yeah.
I have no idea. I see him on a stamp all the time. But who is he?
Oh, I will say that Charlie Brown, though. When they put Charlie Brown on, that was a smart move. So that's 3 stamps.
It did well. And they came out with a Peanuts movie recently.
It was perfectly timed for the movie, for the season, and for the usage. It was a smart move. Do that again.
Yes, and again, well, and again, and again.
Yeah.
They've done things like the series on different, like the trains and the airplanes. I think they should totally geek out to some people and do. I've seen people's like windshields. The back of their back windows are covered in all of the different television series spaceships.
Oh, yeah. That would be cool.
That would be cool. Mm-hmm. I mean, I can tell you as a collector, too, it gets frustrating because if I want to go collect something topical, unless it's a boring topic like pears
or
ferns
or mushrooms.
All of my stamps come from everywhere but the U.S.
Yeah.
Like Jessica and I collect Disney, okay? There's a handful.
Way to go.
Hey, who's the winner?
And speaking it's of Jessica. Jeff.
Just put her on speaker and put her on.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And we're talking about Disney stamps.
Answer her. Uh-huh. Answer her. Answer her. We haven't heard from her in a long time.
I know.
Answer it. Hey, Jessica.
Welcome to Stamp Show here today.
Yes.
Sorry, you got ambushed.
Yep.
How did you know to call while we're talking about Disney stamps?
Yeah.
We were literally talking about Disney stamps and you called.
Mm-hmm. I took down the entire computer system because of my internet here.
Oh, no. Oops.
I'm on timeout in a different office, so I figure it out.
Good job.
Her Monday's more Monday than mine.
Me too. Okay.
Me too.
Bye.
I love you too.
Oh, you do it and you know it. And so do you.
I didn't say a word.
But I don't do it like I'm embarrassed about it in front of other people.
I just laughed at Cash because you called him out.
Okay.
Well, anyway, getting back to Disney, I totally agree. There are, I look, and again, you know, I hate Grenada because they're a stamp mill. They're not really a, but they make some fantastic Disney stamps.
Yep.
Gorgeous little pictures of every, I mean, you have like Alice in Wonderland sitting at the table with the Mad Hatter and the rabbit and everything. If the USPS did it, it would be a line drawing of Alice sitting in a chair. And it's like, oh, God.
No, it'd probably just be a headshot.
Yeah, probably just a headshot at that. Yeah.
From the back.
From the back.
So that they didn't have to get licensing
permission. Yeah, there you go.
But, that's a thing, you know, the licensing side of it. I'm sure, because I remember they had the problem with the... The Statue of Liberty.
Statue of Liberty.
Yeah. Korean War Monument.
Korean War Monument, W.C. Fields, stuff like that.
Don was confused on that one. The Statue of Liberty one, they issued the stamp and later found out that the guy that they got there, the place that they got the photo from of the Statue of Liberty was actually some guy's copyrighted photo.
It was also of the replica in Las Vegas.
Exactly.
Yeah, it wasn't the real statue.
It was the replica in Las Vegas, the Statue of Liberty, not the one in New York.
I forgot about that part.
Yeah.
Somebody realized that there was something wrong in the picture with the proportions of the statue.
Yeah.
Wait a minute. That's not the one in New York. What is that?
So anyway, I understand that there's copyright issues and stuff, but... You can work if Grenada can work it out. The United States Post Office can work it out.
Is Grenada really working it out, though, or are they just doing it anyway?
Oh yeah, no, they have licensing, and
a lot of times you can look at those images and you'll see a little copyright symbol down there.
Oh yeah,
the information on it.
But still, you know, you have a company like Marvel, and they want to make
Disney.
Money.
Who's Disney?
Disney is beyond it. Disney is in a situation where, you know, they want more money.
Mm-hmm.
Marvel and DC are in a place where they want more advertising. They want more
Disney
acceptance.
Owns Marvel, though, now.
Oh, I forgot. Yes.
Yeah.
They bought them out.
That's why I said it's Disney.
So, it's Disney. So maybe just have DC characters. So we'll
maybe that's why they have Batman stamps.
Wow, yeah. And now so Star Wars is, too.
Yeah.
Which would be another reason why you don't get Star Wars stamps, because it's Disney.
Yeah, which is why we get Michelle Liebman.
But just think, you get a licensing agreement from one company, and you can do comics, Disney characters, Star Wars.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, but then they're going to want like 60% in USPS. They'll be like, we can't afford that.
No, they don't do that. That's not exactly how it works, but still... You know, even...
That's how Disney works.
But let's make pretend that's not a problem because they did it with The Simpsons.
Okay.
So they worked out an agreement with The Simpsons, you know, with Matt Groening. And what do? They put out stamps that have absolutely no character or flair.
Mm.
They put out headshots of the main characters, not anything that would be interesting. I mean, you could have had... Instead of showing Bart's head, show Bart on a skateboard.
Right. Yeah.
Show them all sitting on the couch.
Exactly. That would be the... you do a souvenir sheet and each head is a stamp, but they're all sitting on a couch together.
They should have done Bart writing on the blackboard and have the line be something about mailing things.
Yeah.
Well, there you go.
there you go.
I will not mail myself to Cuba.
There's just so many things that they could have done other than a headshot that would have required a little bit of creativity. But if the people on the CASC would be aware, I mean, you know, they probably said, Simpsons, who are they? You know,
but go non-stamp for a minute. Lego has an online thing where you can create your own Lego designs.
Yeah.
and people vote for them. And if they get 10,000 votes, LEGO will actually seriously look at making it a set.
Yeah.
They've recently come out with, I think it was Big Bang Theory.
Oh. Yeah, I have
someone,
that set.
Someone did a Big Bang Theory set.
It's a living
it
room.
It got a whole bunch of votes. They went, got the licensing from the show, and it's in the stores. They just recently released the Mystery Machine from Scooby-Doo.
Oh, yeah.
But
oh,
see, that this would brings it back
that
to,
would
though,
be a perfect
somebody
one.
Else is designing it.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And everyone goes, everyone votes on it and goes, that's cool. And they go, hey, Big Bang Theory, can we turn this into a set? And they go, sure. And
Scooby-Doo right now, for people who aren't aware, is having a large comeback. And it's a different sort of Scooby-Doo. It's a more like up-to-date one. It's not as hokey as it was. But you could,
that was part of the charm.
I'm disputing that.
But in you know, they still at the end pull the mask off and it's Mr. Hooper, you know, but
but I would have got away with it weren't for you, darn kids. It ends the same way.
Get out of my head.
But the USPS, that would be a perfect one. The Scooby-Doo.
Mm-hmm.
That would be a one that has appeal for old people, young people, modern culture. It's cartoon. Just don't do like headshots because nobody's going to know who Daphne is.
Here's an idea. Scratch and Sniff Scooby Snack.
Oh, yeah.
Oh my gosh.
And no Scrappy.
No Scrappy.
Ghost! That would, I mean, you know, these are things that I assure you they're sitting there going, Scooby Doo, well, we haven't done plums yet.
Don't forget the bananas.
The Mystery Machine was green. Let's do another fern.
I guess the moral of the story is with The Simpsons, even when they were given the chance, they still kind of managed to muck it up.
No, they mucked
they
it up
the
really
artwork.
Good. Yeah.
It's
right there.
They really screwed the pooch on The Simpsons. And then, like I said, you know, Scott said they overprinted them. They didn't overprint them.
They undermarket them.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. They under made them something that somebody would want to buy.
That's it. Let's just let Guyana design our stamps.
There you go.
They do a much better job.
Mm-hmm.
Well, you know, the thing is with Grenada, Guyana, Congo is starting to get up there. Congo, by the way, is the poorest country in the world right now. Congo.
Really?
So
it's below Haiti now?
Yeah. Congo is the poorest country in the world. And you see a lot more stamps coming out of Congo now because of it. These countries are making stamps for people. Like, if Tom, you wanted to make a stamp on Viking chickens, you'd call up the Congo post office and they'd say, you got to print 10,000 of them and 500 of them have to be used inside of this country. And you go, okay, and you write the check and it's printed. Well, the thing is, if you request 10,000 Viking chicken stamps, it's a topic that you think you can make money on. It's a topic that you think is popular. It's a topic that you think you can market. There is no profit motive at the post office. Tom has a huge profit motive because he has to write the check. The post office doesn't have to write the check, so they can sit there and say, wonder if we have bananas and plums. And everybody goes, well, who cares? And that's why Grenada and Guyana and, like I said, you know, Congo, they make great-looking stamps. Now you have other countries like Germany makes fantastic-looking stamps. Really, most of Europe makes great-looking stamps. With, of course, Britain, and it's not just the Star Wars. Britain makes a lot of really, really, really good-looking stamps. Yeah. Nice artwork,
topics. They have a few sour notes there, too, but on a whole, they're so much better.
Yeah, they're batting easily 80%, and we're batting 10, maybe.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, you see this stuff coming out of Hong Kong?
Oh.
Just...
Asian incredible. Stamps right now.
Yeah. Incredible.
Or what's the one, what country is the one from where you fold it up and it makes little wagons?
Tonga?
Is it Tonga?
What the heck?
Yeah, they have like these ones that you fold them up, not like origami, but you just fold them into like squares. And
I think that's McDonald's.
No, it's what you'd expect from McDonald's because, you know, McDonald's is a multi-billion dollar company. They know what they're doing. They're marketing. And you have a country do this. It's like, wow, this country is thinking like McDonald's. That's a pretty smart company or a country. And yeah, so you have these little wagons and then they're pulled by Year of the Monkey, little monkeys. And it's a really neat little thing you can put out on your table. Very, very sharp looking.
That's extremely random.
Yeah.
Well, late last year or early last year, I guess, it's 2016 now, the UN came out with all the offices did a set of sea creatures.
Yeah.
Even that was cool, yeah.
Those were nice. Yeah. I saw those and I went, my 7-year-old loves sea stuff. I went immediately, bought a block of four from each country just for her.
Yep. That was, UN is one of those ones where they think about the dollars because they're in business to sell stamps.
Well, they're definitely not in business to mail letters.
No, they're not at all in business.
If you're a business constantly complaining about running out of money and not having enough money and not being able to get things, why wouldn't you start thinking about how to make money?
Yeah.
And that they could do that by designing stuff that people would want.
They'd rather cry to Congress and say, we can't make enough money
because we design crappy stamps.
Stamps for collectors are a total freebie, too, because they know they're going to sell them and they never have to deliver on them.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
So that would totally make sense. So is it just a breakdown in who's designing them?
Well, that's what the conversation they had on the imperforated press sheets. Because they know that the imperforated press sheets, most of that is just pure money. Because people do not use those on the mail. I mean, I've used a couple of them on the mail when you have like the ones on the end that like they're singles and you can't use them or you miscut them or something. But otherwise, they sit in collections forever. And so why don't they, you know, it's just you look at the 14 issues and you have what's the one that was made on the bad word program? I miss you, or what's the one? The worst stamp last year.
Oh, the worst stamp.
Forget it. But all it was...
That's how bad it was. We don't remember it.
Yeah, it was like, I'm missing you, or something like that. And come on, you can do better. But the biggie is, you can definitely do better with Star Trek. Just look at what Guyana did.
Yeah. You know?
Take a look at Grenade and say, yeah, we screwed the pooch on this one.
It's like the difference between special effects on Barbarella and the new Star Wars movie.
Pretty good.
The post office is stuck with Barbarella, and most of the rest of the world is going with the new Star Wars.
Yeah.
And it just the design is just we need new people in there.
Yeah.
Gosh, give us your corrections.
You must have goofed up somewhere.
One thing that I have, and then we'll get to the expert topic, is, and I thought this was kind of interesting, at the Kelleher auction that just closed, there was a Mulready envelope, a first day of issue, May 6th, 1840, and it was estimated at $7,500. It didn't sell, so I'm kind of curious, but $7,500 for a first day cover for really the world is pretty interesting. That's about it.
Oh my God, who the hell cares?
That's the shortest Cash's corrections in history.
You are correct.
Next week he'll correct that and it'll be longer.
Absolutely. Oh, I know. Mm-hmm. Oh, one more thing I'm going to tack on to Cash's corrections also is... it came to our attention recently that when you go directly to our website, stampshowheretoday.com, you used to be able to see all of our old episodes through the browser built in. That's not the case anymore. They changed their policy for some reason, so you only see the last 10 or 15 or so. But never fear, you can still listen to all of our episodes in its entirety through our original Podbean hosted page, which is Stamp Show Here Today 1, the numeral 1, .podbean.com. So you can listen to all of our old ones at stampshowheretoday1.podbean.com.
And now our expert topic, photographing and organizing your stamps. Many, if not all, stamp collectors are aware of the existence of stamp albums, and they are used frequently and often. Most stamp collectors use mass-produced albums to store and protect their stamps. But how would you prove what you have to your insurance company if your collection got damaged? How would you share your collection with friends online? This week, we will go over all the ways you can photograph your entire collection and give you tips on what to do and what to avoid.
So how did this topic come to be?
Yeah, how did this happen?
Well, two little things. One of them was that, and I don't know how many of them Scott gets, but I got another, this was a 2-cent Harding that was photographed next to a ruler saying this is the valuable one. And the picture was probably on my screen was probably about 3/4 of an inch.
Nice.
There was, it was taken, they must have used a zoom lens or something on it. There was a huge amount of white space with this little tiny stamp in the middle next to a ruler. And of course, you know, you have no chance of telling it, even if it was a nice picture, because, you know, the ruler and the distortion and everything. But this was just a joke. I mean, it was an absolute joke. There was no way to tell what the stamp was. And so we were talking about how, you know, it's important to have pictures, you know, so you can send it to the experts and say, hey, save me $30 and take a look at this stamp. And we go, well, you better send me a good picture. Second thing, of course, is selling on eBay. You know, if you're going to charge money for a stamp, you better show a good picture of it.
I saw a seller once that did exactly what you were talking about, the stamp. If the image size, like the surface it was taken on, was like a 1-foot by 2-foot tabletop, the stamp was maybe an inch high and took up like 3% of the whole photo.
Yep.
And you couldn't even zoom in on it because it was pixelated at that point. So why did you even bother? Why would you take a picture that far out?
Well, yeah, and scan it at like 70, or take a picture at like 72 DPI. It's like...
pretty much.
Yeah, well, that's a good question is, you know, using a scanner versus using a camera.
Well, when you're... my take is if you're doing a stamp, you want to scan it. You're doing a cover, you want to scan it. If it'll fit on your scanner bed and it's flat, you want to scan it. And you want to use at least... 300. I like 300 DPI, but I guess you can get away with.
Oh no,
it.
That's
you can get away
way
with,
too low.
Well, 300
depends
DPI
on what you're using it for.
Well,
yeah,
that's true.
Yeah, it depends on what you're using it for. If you're using it for eBay, 300 DPI is plenty. And then if you know somebody wants a better image, you can always
it depends on the. I mean, because of eBay's all their new rules now, it really depends a lot on the size of the item you're scanning.
Really?
Yeah.
Being someone who does a lot of scanning for somebody in this room for eBay, I can do a cover, like a regular letter-sized cover, at 150 DPI. And it's a 1 meg file plus, 1.5 to 2 meg file. And it's just for the from the width of the envelope, it's got enough room on one side. But if you're scanning an individual stamp, a lot of times I have to go up to 600 or 700 DPI for a single stamp. Because when you click on that image and click to enlarge it, you're going to get the detail. And if you're scanning everything at the same DPI, the little items are going to pixelate when you click on them to blow them up, even if they're at 300 DPI and even if they do meet the minimum size.
Let's just
but you can't, you
tell
can't
them
go,
about minimum size real quick so people know what we're talking about.
Well, it's... DPI dots per inch, basically, or PPI pixels per inch. It's basically how many dots on the computer screen it is in width. And eBay, I think, requires a minimum of 700 on a side, at least one side. You know, so if you're scanning something like a C-13, if you're a Zeppelin stamp, you know, as long as your height gets up to the 700, your width is going to be well over. But you can do it so that you just have the width is 700 and the height's like, you know, 600 or 500, and it's not a big deal because at least one size has to be that big.
Actually, I think
the smaller size has to be that big.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. They want big pictures of stuff.
Yeah, they want bigger or right. highly detailed.
So if you take a picture and you, it has to be 700 pixels and you scan it at 150 DPI, once it goes to 700 pixels, it's going to look like a whole bunch of little squares.
Well, if you
just not pixelated, but heavily pixelated.
Well, if you're doing it at 100 DPI, if you want to get 700 pixel width, you're, let's see, 150. You better be taking a picture of a stamp that's at least 5 inches wide.
Yeah.
Or you're not going to get there at 150 DPI.
Exactly, exactly.
Right. Well, and if you're going to do something, I mean, if you're going to go the other direction away from a scanner, for heaven's sake, put the camera directly over the top and shoot it at a 90-degree angle.
Yes.
Everybody puts their stamp on a table, and they take it at a 45-degree angle, and the stamp looks like it's 3 feet long and 1 inch wide. It's like, no.
It's like a trapezoid.
You can't, you'll never be able to sell it for people who want to buy for something based on centering, for people who are looking to get graded stamps. You're never going to show accurate centering if you take a picture at an angle. You have to take it 90 degrees.
You can't take a picture of a stamp with a camera.
You can't.
Covers are fine. Here's how I do it is I take a picture, like you said, directly over. I'll have a light source. And then I'll look for the glare on the table of where the light source is glaring. And I'll put the
stamp on a piece of felt.
Well, I'll put the...
Doesn't glare.
Yeah, I'll put the item over where that glare spot is. Because then I know where the light source is hitting. Then I'll take the camera above it and I'll take a picture. It'll remove the glare. It'll be flat on and it'll be well lit. And it's quicker for me because I can take pictures of covers with my camera. I don't have a scanner, so I have another person do my scanning for me who will remain nameless, but his name rhymes with Tom. And so I do not do scanning. I have somebody else do it who's better at it than I am.
Yeah, but you'd rather have the scanning done than to try to take pictures of it.
Yes, yes. But again, with covers, generally speaking, the way that I sell, and this is just me, my covers tend to be cheap items and my stamps tend to be expensive items. So I can blow my covers out cheap and I won't take the time to do really, really great photography on something that I'm going to sell for $2.
Yeah.
I will do it on something I'm going to sell for 20 or 30. And so that's where the difference for me comes in.
So would you say then it's best to have a scanner of which you can adjust what the DPI or pixel width is as you're going?
Oh, definitely. Because like I said, if you're doing like a mixed batch or, you know, say you're going to do it for a lot. Mm-hmm. And you're going to do, you know, you don't need to do 4 or 5 scans. Just do one decent sized scan of all the stamps at once.
Now, if you're scanning an album page, then if you scan it at 600 DPI, that's going to be a really, really large
file. It's
going to
be
a
really big file, and it's going to take forever.
Right. Yeah. But it's also, you know, in that case, you know, a lower DPI is sufficient to identify your stamps as well.
Right, and but it's not something you'd be using to sell on eBay.
No,
right.
This is more for something you would use for insurance purposes.
Right, this is more for insurance, yeah.
Yeah, which, you just want it good enough to be identifiable.
Right, and you also want to have notes on the album page next to your stamps. Never hinged, previously hinged, things like that. Any special variety should be noted so that when you look at the album page, it is evident what's there.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, just so everybody is aware how insurance companies work, if you say that your stamp collection was stolen and you have a $50,000 premium on it, they're not going to cut you a check for $50,000. Yeah, they're going to say, show me what your loss is. They're going to say, what's the loss? They're not going to say, you know, what you bought it for or whatever. They're going to, you sit there and say, well, I paid $100 for this stamp, but it's worth $50,000. They will send you a check for $100. Unless you have something in your insurance policy that says current value, which generally is not kind of what the cheaper insurance. I mean, if you buy
usually you need like a rider or something that's specifically for, you know, it's like if you have a rental, if you have a renter's insurance or something like that, and you know, you got a $6,000 ring or something that sits in your jewelry box and that gets stolen, they're not going to cover that on your renter's insurance.
Nope.
You need to have a rider for that ring.
Yeah. So you have, you know, your stamp collection, you had better be able to show people what it was worth. And generally speaking, pictures do that excellently, whereas you just saying, oh, yeah, I had a first day cover of a plate block of the $5 Colombian, you know, with a nice cachet, they're going to say, no, sorry. Okay, in addition to that, you know, a lot of times we talk about whether or not to photograph the front and the back of a stamp if you're selling it on eBay or whatever. And, you know, I tend to, on the expensive stuff, I'll take a picture of the back. But generally speaking, if it's used and there's no faults, I won't take a picture of the back. And if it's a cheap stamp, I won't take a picture of the back because I, you know, I don't want to spend the extra time.
Well, another thing is if you're selling a never hinged stamp and you specifically state that it's never hinged, then you shouldn't necessarily need an image of the back of the stamp.
Mm.
But if it's hinged, a lot of times people will want to know how ugly is it or
absolutely.
How nice it is.
Yeah, absolutely.
And so just like a used stamp with a never hinged stamp, you don't necessarily need an image of the back of the stamp.
Yeah.
And on covers, anything more than a couple dollars. I mean, if you're selling Art Craft first day covers, probably don't need a scan of the back. If you're selling a cover for $2, probably don't need a scan of the back unless there's something important about the cover on the back. Maybe it's a receiving mark or something like that.
I almost never show the back unless it has a receiving mark or something like that that I specifically want to put in the description. Transcontinental or, you know, something like that, you want to show the back because it'll show some route stamps.
Well, I've found in some of the covers that I sell, they really a lot of times are clean on the back. But at the price point that I sell at, which is usually anywhere from, you know, $8 or $9 to $15 or $20, my customers seem to prefer items where I have a scan of the back, even if it's just a clean envelope,
yeah.
Because they want to make sure that it's a clean envelope.
Well, look at what the auction companies do. The auction companies will show a really, really nice picture, but they don't show the back of the stamp. They do a description on it.
No, so but they also expect you to come and view the lot before you bid on it.
Person.
Yeah.
Whereas on eBay, you kind of can't do that.
Yeah, well,
I think if you put in the description for something like a cover that it had a clean back, you know, I think if somebody said, hey, do you have a picture? I'd probably then go, sure, I can give you a picture of the back and just then run a scan of the back and send it to that particular person.
Well, I get emails from people saying, you know, can I get a picture of the back? And it'll be a used stamp or something like that. And even on a cheap mint stamp, it's like, you know, I'm selling this stamp for $2.
Is it really worth
it? You
really want me to do that?
I'm not going to do it. You know, I put in my descriptions a lot of times, you know, I have, you know, I'll start the bidding at $1, or not even bidding, it'll be a buy it now for $1.99. And I say, you know, this is a generic scan. If you want a picture of the individual stamp that you'll be getting, please increase the price to $5 and I'll send you a picture of the front and back.
Mm.
And they go, no, I'd rather pay the $1.99, you know, because it's easy for me. If it's easy for me, I'll give you a cheap price. If I have to work on it, I have to charge more.
Well, it's all about what's your time worth.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And I mean, aside from eBay, I use, I photograph my stamps myself, not for insurance purposes, but just to keep things organized because I've seen guys do things two different ways at stamp shows, and I haven't liked either of them. There's two kinds of people that are looking for individual stamps that I see. There's the guy that has a three-ring or spiral binder that's about 3/4 of an inch thick. It's got 5 different kinds of paper in it, and it's got these long, copious lists of notes of they have this stamp and this stamp, they need this one from this series in this condition, and they don't care how this one looks, but they need this one. And I don't want to be digging through mountains of paper when I'm at a show. And then the other one are the guys that, and this scares me because we've heard stories of bad things happening to these people, are the guys that actually take their collection to a show.
Yeah, yes.
So they can sit there and have their album in front of them and thumb through it while they're looking for stamps that they need. I said, A, I'm too lazy to sit down and write out a list. And B, I'm not willing to take the risk of hauling my album around to shows. So the first dozen pages or so that I'm still trying to fill in my U.S. album, I've taken pictures of everything where there are holes. Because that way, I'm thumbing through my album digitally, and it provides a record in case something does happen to it. But I can go, oh, yeah, I need that. Oh, don't buy that. I've already got that. And I made, before I started doing that, I made that mistake. I've bought duplicates before.
There are two people who go to the Anaheim Stamp Show, a plug for Steve Patillo here. And they carry, like you said, like a two inch or so binder that has pictures, photographs of all their pages. And they can show their collection to people. They can show, and they did an incredibly good job on some of this. I mean, I took out my cell phone and I took some pictures of their pages because they were so cool. You don't run any risk because all your stuff is at home. And you get to show your stuff. And that is a biggie. I mean, that is really, really cool when you can do that. I have pictures of my exhibit. I take pictures of my exhibit. And so I can show that to people. The problem, well, it's not really a problem, is, you know, when I change pages. But that's great because then I can hand everybody things who are experts in that category. And they can give me feedback. And I can write right on the pages. And take it back home and fix it and do whatever. So the ability to take your collection to a stamp show is a great, fantastic thing to do. Just don't bring your real collection.
No.
Bring pictures of it.
And nowadays, if you have something like a good phone or a tablet with a decent screen, I would say if you're good, since your stamps are in a binder of some sort like that, for heaven's sake, get yourself Microsoft OneNote. It's free, and it's a digital binder. You can create different notebooks. The notebooks have tabs. The tabs have pages. And you can completely organize, and it's a searchable database.
Well, that's cool.
So you could have the whole thing and go, oh, I'm looking for my Colombians. And you type in Colombian, and it'll tell you which notebook and which page to look at.
Oh, you got cool airmails here. Let me flip over to that real fast.
Yeah,
I mean, I know a guy, a collector in Redlands, that he collects U.S., and if it catalogs probably between 2,000, 2,500 or lower, he has it. Very meticulous, practically to the point of being OCD on how well his album is put together. I mean, it's like to the nearest quarter millimeter how far apart his stamps are. He sat down, I don't know how long it took, it must have taken him days. He scanned every single page of his album, punched them back out, and stuck them in another duplicate album of the one that he really keeps his stamps in. And his stamp album is at home in a fireproof safe. And he hauls this photo album around with him everywhere. He didn't care if he spilled coffee on it. That's fine to go print on another page.
Well, the fellow...
OneNote is much lighter.
Yeah.
It is. That's true.
And if you replace a stamp on a page, then you just have to take a new picture.
Yeah. That's it.
Well, do you remember seeing Roberts? He's one of the fellows who has the binder. And he had the page of morning covers.
Oh, I didn't get to see that.
It's a fantastic page. He has a picture of postcard of a horse-drawn hearse. He has the morning, like two morning covers on it. And then he has a picture of like a lady wearing all black in morning gear, you know, in morning attire. And
morning gear.
Morning gear.
That.
Yeah, I know. wrong word.
Is that mil-spec tactical? Yeah.
But he made these little one page sort of exhibits. And when I saw that one, it was so well laid out. I was so glad that he had a picture of it to share because it gave me a great deal of ideas and stuff of what I would like to see. and he had, you know, a binder of it. And then there's another fellow who has his literal collection, and he collects stamps and proofs. And so you will thumb through it, and you will see all the stuff, and if you, there's a mistake. And, you know, he's not by no means a beginner, but he did have some mistakes in it, and us being, you know, the experts we are and pains in the ass, we pointed them out to him. But the funny thing was, the next time I saw him next month, all those pages were changed. He took and he just said, zoop, new picture, put it in the album, and it was done. And all his stuff was up to date and perfect. And I just think from a standpoint of showing your collection and sharing your collection, it's fantastic. And he did his with a scanner also. The other person did theirs with a camera. And I don't know what camera it was. I honestly think it was like their cell phone camera.
Well, considering, I was going to say, the pictures I have for flipping through my album pages, my cell phone has a 16 megapixel camera in it.
Yeah.
So I just made sure I had a really good light source, which is something else we should talk about. And I took a straight top down, completely parallel photo, like Tom was talking about. And the resolution on my phone is good enough where in picture of a page, I can pinch zoom on the screen and I can get the stamp to where it's about life size with no pixelation.
Yeah.
And that's done with my phone. So it's definitely viable for just record keeping like that.
Yeah, let's do talk about light real quick. And obviously this doesn't have to do with scanning. This is all camera.
Yeah.
There's different types of lights. There's the Ott light, which, you know, is sort of the best light to take your pictures under. The alternative would be sunlight.
Mm-hmm.
If you
sunlight can, like from the actual sun,
like
right?
from the actual
and
sun,
not a brand.
No, can I have a can of sunlight, please? The Ott light gives good light. That's the one that I use. Sunlight obviously is good, but is impractical. The thing that you don't want to do is you never want to take them under fluorescent light.
Nope.
Because that really distorts out the picture.
Turns it green.
Turns it green.
And, really?
And it's just noticeable. You know, you're thumbing through. This is like your, you know, your kind of your pride and joy.
Mm-hmm. And as someone who's done photography, fluorescent lights cast off
a greenish hue.
The human eye adjusts to that. A camera does not. So, you know, it's the same reason if you take like an extended video of like a computer screen and you'll see the computer screen flickering.
Mm-hmm.
It's because the camera can catch the refresh rate.
Oh, yeah.
And your eye doesn't do that. You know, it makes up for it. But yeah, fluorescent lights give off a green glow.
I know I don't use regular old incandescent bulbs either because they tend to throw off kind of a yellowish light, correct?
Yes.
Because they're overly warm.
Yeah, I mean, we use Ott lights here. Now, the thing that I'm curious about is since, Tom, you're talking about how fluorescents cast a greenish hue, for a long time here, until we recently switched to Ott light LED True Daylight, we were using Ott light fluorescent bulb True Daylight lights. So how would that compact fluorescent differ?
I believe they actually probably use a different gas or something in it to give it a, you know, like to do a color temperature adjustment to more of a natural color. You know, it's just like they make lights for fish tanks in different temperatures.
That's true.
And a lot of them are still,
they're still fluorescent.
Fluorescents. Yeah. And people, I think that's just the gas and the coatings that they use in the bulb.
Okay.
And I think actually CFC bulbs that you can get now are pretty clean like that also. I mean, Ott light used to be, you know, special, but now the CFCs that come out, they're pretty common to give good color. And the reason we want to bring that up is because you'll take a really great picture of your collection and it'll look sort of muddy or dirty, or not dirty, muddy or dark. And it won't present as well when all you have to do is, you know, buy a $15 CFC bulb or a $30 Ott light or something like that. I mean, we're not talking about, you know, high, really expensive gear here.
No,
we're talking about, you know, a different light bulb will make a huge difference in your photography and showing off your collection. So, you know, I think that's, you know, talking about it, I should carry my exhibit around to the stamp shows more and show my stuff, you know, share it, show people what I'm looking for and stuff like that.
Just carry it digitally?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I mean, I could carry one with my chicken collection,
mm-hmm.
and I can carry one with my global warming collection. And then I can carry around my U.S. number 11 collection, my 1851 to 1859 collection, which actually changed from 1850 to 1859. So now I need a bunch of U.S. number ones and twos. But the just to show, you know, what I'm doing. And once people know what you're looking for, they give you stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Well, they don't give it to you, but they set, they find you stuff. So much chicken stuff has come to me by telling people, and they go, oh, I have this, I have that. I'll bring this next time. And they wouldn't do it otherwise mm-hmm. because they didn't wouldn't know that I cared. It. Yeah, exactly.
Another thing, and this is a whole different can of worms on the subject of scanning and picture taking, is color calibration.
Mm-hmm. Oh, okay.
That could almost be a completely different topic because you can take a perfect picture of your stamp with the perfect lighting, and if somebody calls it up on their screen on eBay and their screen is not calibrated correctly, their stamp could look green.
Especially when you're talking in the realms of such subtle things as bluish paper.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Right.
Where a couple of shades can make a difference between, oh, yeah, cool, versus that guy's nuts. That's not bluish paper.
I mean,
you know how you fix that?
Huh?
You get a cert.
Yeah. That does solve that problem. I mean.
Actually, we turned away a piece of business, but the person was very thankful. We got a blue paper in, and the person had listened to the podcast and said, Cash, you know, is this, I know what you just said. And I go, nope. Don't send it in. Save yourself $30.
Yep.
That's for anybody who missed the last podcast or no, two podcasts ago. The not winning lottery tickets.
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm. Lottery tickets that don't pay out.
Well, that's sort of like I said, that's what started it. The 2 cent Harding, somebody emailing me a picture of a little black dot next to a ruler.
So, yeah, definitely as a rule of thumb, if you're going to send a picture to an expert anywhere, please use a high-res scan. I know we use for reference for sending out ourselves to people. I just did a 1200 DPI high-res scan. I think of a used CSA 12 so that somebody else could look at it and verify that it was genuine, that it was genuine use.
Yeah.
Well, we have there's an expert that we send like number sevens to.
Mm-hmm.
And it is
shout out Dick Seller.
Yeah, there you go. And then we can send him a 1200 DPI scan, and it's such a high resolution that he can plate the stamp off of the scan.
Mm-hmm.
Occasionally he can't, but in those cases.
But that's usually because of another reason. It's not usually because of the scan.
Yeah, it's because stamps look the same.
You know, an obscuring cancel or something like that. But
3/4 of a stamp.
Yeah,
that could do it too.
You can email us at stampshowheretoday@gmail.com, Twitter stampshowht, Facebook stampshowheretoday, and our website, www.stampshowheretoday.com, with your questions and comments. You can now leave your questions and comments on our Google Voice answering machine anytime, 1-949-873-4298. There is also a link to Google Voice on our website so you can make the call from your computer. And on that note, keep collecting.
Hi, this is Stamp Show Steve, and you are listening to Stamp Show Here Today.
This episode of Stamp Show Here Today is brought to you not only by the Philatelic Book of Secrets, but also by the Philatelic Book of Secrets Volume 2. Volume 2 covers even more secrets. It can be bought alone for $10 or together with Part 1 for $15 at gradingmatters.com. Get yours today!
Hi, this is Bobby Prager with Gary Posner Incorporated, based in Long Island, New York and New Jersey. And I just want to say that the stamp hobby is alive and well here, and we love buying and selling stamps. We pay very very, very good prices, so we'd rather buy 9 out of 10 collections than just a very small percentage of what we see. Also, check us out on our website at GaryPosnerInc.com. You'll see a lot of great stamps at great prices. And any questions, just feel free to call Bob at 1-800-323-4279. That's Bob Prager at 1-800-323-4279. And my cell number is 917-538-8133. Happy hunting out there.
Turn to sender, address unknown. No such number.